number 2. With more fishing, more hunting, and more adventure on Angler Chronicle.
There you go. Hey, it's early morning. But Larry, when we hear that song, what does it mean, Larry?
Stand back.
Because
the sheriff is on his way down the red carpet. Don't mess it up, man. Don't get in his way.
Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, all right, Danny Jackson, the sheriff. Good morning, Danny.
Hey, good morning, Sergio, the A-team, Steve Carson. Good morning to everybody.
Good morning. Hey.
Big day. Hey, speaking of baseball, spring training has got to be right around the corner. When you guys walk in the stadium there in the office down below, it's got to say how many days, minutes, hours, seconds.
It does, but Danny, you know how I feel about all these sports.
I know.
The most important thing this week, I can't believe you're talking baseball when the Super Bowl is tomorrow.
But
that's fine. That was fired for number one. Training. I thought that was for the opener of Rockfish.
That was firing number one. Okay. All right.
Oh, well
talk to me. Talk to me, Sheriff.
Well, you know, Super Bowl. I was pulling for Green Bay and Pittsburgh, so I'll still watch the game, though. So
you're fired again. It should be on the Raiders.
Boy, twice in 5 minutes here.
Not even five.
Well, hey, you know, I heard you guys talking about Miles Square Park in March 18th. Let's talk about that for a moment because, you know, we are going to be filming that, not necessarily for television, but maybe pieces of it on television. Mm-hmm. But we're going to make a nice short video, probably 5, 6, 7 minutes, for OC Parks and for the Fish and Wildlife. And, you know, we'll have that on the Internet right away. So these kids have such a ball. You know, of course, Miles Square Park is a place in my heart there, in my heart for that place. I live right across the street from it here in Fountain Valley. And, of course, we go there a lot. So, I heard you talking about, total of 2,600 pounds of fish, trout and catfish combined, Sergio? Is that right?
Yeah, we got 1,500 this Department of Fish and Wildlife is putting in 1,500 of catfish. I heard 400 to 500 pounds of rainbows. And then OC Parks has another additional 400 to 600 pounds of catfish they're putting in.
You know, that's a beautiful body of water there on the North Lake. Euclid and Edinger, Fountain Valley area. But it's a small body of water. I mean, my goodness, that's shooting fish in a barrel, I guess.
Well, think about it. Last year, like we mentioned, I think we opened the derby at 9 a.m. At 9:05, we had the first catfish, remember?
Oh, yeah. And they just kept coming. So, anyway, we're looking forward to that. You know, we'll keep reminding the folks the next few weeks. It'll be here before you know it. We've got the Fred Hall Show coming up, of course. Anyway, this last week, what a busy week, Sergio. Tuesday night at Taco Tuesday, Michael's Sports Pub and Grill. You guys raised a lot of cash. I thought that was such a great idea, you know, rafting off the trip with Chad and you, Freedom Boat Club. That's, you know, it's always good. And, of course, that show, we'll talk about that show in a little bit. Going to air right away, the Casting for Souls. And then Thursday, I want to talk a little bit about Thursday. I had another opportunity to go out with you and Chad with the hookup base, Freedom Boat Club, Huntington Harbor. And there we are shooting for television. Another episode for Freedom Boat Club. And just on the way out, just goofing off, you guys had to catch at least 20 spotted bay bass. And, I mean, they were just all over the hookup baits. And then, of course, the rest of the day, we were looking for halibut. We caught some halibut. They were a little bit on the short side. We're looking for that good halibut spot. We caught plenty.
Well, technically, Danny, we wanted to go after spotties. Okay, that was a thought. And
right.
And where you catch spotties, there's a lot of short halibut, and we got into those. But what was really unique, and we stayed inside the breakwell. It was the bays. We went all the way down to Cabrillo and then worked our way back. What was unique was the number of sand bass, huh?
Yeah, there was a lot of, and you know what, the sand bass are every place. You know, Chad was commenting these places where you normally are reserved, you know, the inshore spots there for spotties were loaded with sand bass. Remember, we got on that one corner there. All hard to explain right where it is, close to the old Navy Mole. Mm-hmm. We got on a corner there, loaded with calico bass. I mean, literally one right after another calico bass fishing. Just amazing what the hookup baits will do. And you know, and I wanted to say this seriously. Over the years, you know, I'm a barracuda, bonita, yellowtail guy. You know, some offshore stuff. I caught a lot of calico bass in my lifetime, but I'm not one of the better bass fishermen. I'll admit that. Because I just haven't done it a lot. But here I am out there with hookup baits. You might think, well, you know, Chad and these guys, they catch a lot of fish because they know how to use those lures and all that. Hey, don't kid yourself. You know, anybody, literally, if I
really catch, okay, now you're fired again.
I'm fired. What did I do this time?
Saying that we don't know how to catch bass.
No. What I'm saying is, you might think that only you guys can catch the fish using these hookup baits. That's not true. If I can use a hookup bait and catch calico and sand bass and other species, so can anyone. That's my whole point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you go fishing, you know, private boat fishermen, you know, live bait's expensive. You're not going to leave the receiver for less than $100. And you know what? You don't need it. Literally, don't need it. These hookup baits, they get it all. I mean, the sculpin, the ground fish, the rockfish when they open up again, and the bass. So give it a try before you spend a lot of money for anchovies and sardines, because they work. And it's not just you guys, Chad, and you guys that fish a lot that get them. I mean, I had a lot of fun catching the sandies and the calicos there Thursday. So
yeah, we did. We had a really good time. And yeah, like I said, hookup baits work. And if you know that there's a little technique to it, and if you use it, oh boy, it's on.
I mean,
that's the third time we've been out together. Both the previous times we were outside the bay, we worked some of the reefs, and it was 80 to 100 fish days, just the two of us.
Yeah.
And then you got it on film.
And then
this particular trip was a little bit slower. Okay, but you're inside, so we were doing a lot of traveling, a lot of moving, but we still got plenty of calico bass, plenty of sand bass. We got some spotties, and we also got halibut, you know, so that was kind of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Of course, we'll be doing that again. So mm-hmm. Anyway, let's talk about television, Angler Chronicles Television. Tomorrow morning, of course, you know, Fox now has given us that 8 a.m. slot for the previous week's show. So tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., you'll get one last look.
Well, actually, stop on that. I just realized we got Captain Rick Scott on the line there.
Oh, hey.
Let's bring Captain Rick Scott from the Ocean Odyssey. Can you cue him up? There you go. How you doing, Rick?
Good morning. How's everybody?
Pretty good. Okay, Danny, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, now that's perfect that Rick's on the line here. One last look there at the Ocean Odyssey episode. It, you know, Fox, like I say, Fox has given us that extra slot every Sunday morning for the previous week's show. So at 8 a.m. Ocean Odyssey. Then at 8:30, we're going to show the Slammin' Safaris episode, Queen Charlotte Safaris.
That was fun.
What's that?
Both these episodes were a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, you had William Johnson. That was up in British Columbia. So that's on at 8:30. You guys just slayed the big ling cod and yellow-eye rockfish, giant Pacific halibut, and, of course, king salmon, lots of those. That's the king salmon capital of the world, that part of British Columbia. And just a reminder, to be sure to see Valerie, the owner of Queen Charlotte Safaris at the Fred Hall Show, and Rick Scott and everyone else. We're looking forward to that. So tomorrow, 8:30 in the morning, the Slammin' Safaris, again Tuesday afternoon at 2 p.m. This is all on Fox Sports West. And again, of course, next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Then we're going to try to follow up the next couple of weeks with Fish and Freedom. And then, of course, on February 19th, you mentioned it earlier,
mm-hmm.
East Cape episode, Casting for Souls from Los Bariles. And just a great episode. So a lot of busy things. Good things coming up, Sergio.
Yeah, absolutely. Really good stuff. Hey, Rick, what do you got? You got a radio on or something behind you?
No, sitting in a goose blind.
Oh, in a goose blind. That's what it is. Where are you? Are you local or not?
Well, yeah, I'm local. I'm in El Centro.
Oh, okay.
And I want to throw out a big thanks to Danny and John and you, Sergio, and the whole Angler Chronicle crew. That was an awesome episode. That was a great show.
Really, well, thank you, Rick. It is awesome. I got to say, you know, the aerials that John's getting and the way these things are being put together now, and they're just phenomenal footage. And, you know, it's an episode for the fishermen, of course, especially, that just keep you glued to your TV. It's a lot of fun, beautiful boat, good weather, great fishing, big fish, wonderful.
Yeah, we had a really good response on that episode, and I asked, and Danny, you're going to love this. I asked Rick, I said, Rick, I mean, how are we going to make the next episode that we shoot different? And he goes, simple. We'll just catch albacore. Larry, what do you think? What do you think about that?
Sounds easy to me.
Hey, Steve.
It's been done.
Now let's see. How long would it take us to get to Oregon or Washington on your boat, Rick?
No. We're going to do it down there. Steve Carson, what is the percentages? I need a forecast and a prediction.
You mean the overs and unders on albacore?
Yes.
I think it was either last week or the week before you pinned me down on that. I think
you said 51. I think
no, it was under 50.
Oh, okay.
I think I said like 45. That means 50. Oh, well, it's not like it's really a sad thing. It doesn't mean the 55. In years past, many years past, if there were no albacore, sometimes in the summer there was no anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little bit of yellowtail on the coast or under the paddies, and that was it.
Yeah, but you don't understand one thing, Steve, and this is the thing. You know, when you have a whole camera crew out on a boat, nothing doesn't work. And
well,
so
right. What I'm saying is that if there's no albacore,
uh-huh.
We'll have more of the same what we've had the last number of years, which is schooly yellowfin tuna or some nice Dorado,
uh-huh.
Or maybe even bluefin tuna. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, but when we with Rick, we've actually put in an order for albacore. Right, Rick?
You put it in order. I see.
Yeah. And well, see, the thing is this. The fish can only become famous if they're on TV, right, Danny?
Yeah, exactly.
So they have to make a showing. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and they only get famous if you put them on this side of the boat. So
they're famous coming over the rail,
absolutely.
The rail and in the pail.
And like Larry says, welcome aboard.
Yeah, all right.
All right, so Danny, so we've got, let me go back to you. We've got the one more shot at 8 o'clock in the morning with Ocean Odyssey at 8 a.m. And then at 8:30 we have Queen Charlotte Safaris, the Slamming Safaris episode. Folks, if you really want an exciting morning before the Super Bowl, I'm telling you, 8 to 9, those two episodes are fantastic. You're going to see large tuna and then some large bottom fish, okay, and some king salmon. So it takes you from one end to the other. In fact, this is one of the trips I think Rick needs to go on. Rick loves rock fishing. Rick, British Columbia is insane, brother, is insane.
Okay. Where do you go?
It was with Queen Charlotte Safaris in British Columbia. Okay, so, yeah, check out the episode. You're going to love it. Okay, I took William, and he's just like, couldn't believe it. I mean, the first drop, we both got bit, and it was on from then on. I mean, Danny, I think you had no shortage of footage of fish, did you?
Oh, my gosh. We had so much fish. I literally could have made 10 episodes out of that trip.
And you know what? And you'll appreciate this, Rick and the guys here. We make a move. We were in 400 and some odd feet of water catching some fish, and we had kind of drifted away a little bit. And he goes, let's go ahead and make a move to, what's the name of the island?
Marble Island.
So we make a move, and as we're moving, I'm noticing on the shoreline, they got kelp. A little bit different looking kelp. And I said, you guys fish over there? He goes, no, we don't fish there. I go, how come? And he says, it's too shallow. I said, how deep is it? He says, 80 to 90 feet. And I'm thinking,
there's fish in there.
Yeah, 80 to 90 feet with kelp. You know that. I go, well, don't you? You know, we don't even go. And I said, do you mind, since we got to go by, go in through the inside? And we go on the edge of it. We're metering it. And the entire screen up and down is lit up. I go, dude, this is fish. And so the kid says, okay, kid, the younger captain, stops the boat. And we throw out a mega bait. Okay, a 1-ounce mega bait. I casted it out. It sunk about 2 feet, okay, and it's on. And the kid looks at my reel and doesn't see the line go. I goes, oh, what, is your reel broken? And I go, no, dude, I'm hooked up. I put it in gear, and it just bends. And we got on these bombers, which, Danny, what is the correct name?
They are a dusky rockfish.
And these were 5 to 7 pound fish that were fishing them like calicos. And we got some other underwater footage of these fish, okay, just schooling up. So it was just great. Hey, Rick, we got to go to a break. Can you stay on?
I can hang out.
Okay, perfect. And Danny, you got to go or you got
to
stay?
I'm going to get back to my chores. I'll be listening. You guys have a great weekend and enjoy that Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. We'll talk to you later. And the Angels do come to Arizona next week, so we're good.
Okay, guys.
We're going to take a short break. This is Angels Radio, AM830K, LAA, Anger Chronicles. We'll be right back.
Angels Radio, AM 830.
Need a break from the daily grind? Don't dream about it. Dream extreme. Then head to Lake Elsinore, the region's extreme sports destination. It's certainly no surprise that Southern California's largest natural lake is known for extreme sports. Visitors can unleash their free spirit by kiteboarding, boat fishing, and power boating. For dragsters desiring to test their mettle, you can jet down the one-mile-long high-speed zone at 150 miles per hour. It's a blast for bass boats, too. The new 8 million boat launch facility is now open at the La Laguna Resort. Enjoy boating all weekend long by RVing or camping at the resort. Lake Elsinore features 3,200 acres of glistening fresh water. This past spring, the lake was stocked with over 7,000 largemouth bass. Anglers can't stop raving about the bass, catfish, and wipers. Lake Elsinore is just a short drive from Orange County or San Diego off Interstate 15 in southwest Riverside County. Whether you want to go jump in a lake or jump out of a plane, parachuting, or jump monster mounds at a motocross track, come experience your dream extreme in Lake Elsinore.
Hi, Viet Nguyen here from Owner Hooks. When it comes to sport fishing, nothing is ever guaranteed until now. Introducing the newest innovation in sport fishing from Owner Hooks, the Chumbucket Sabiki. Owner's Chumbucket Sabiki is a new concept that was developed in Japan. A weighted, plastic-molded bucket designed to hold chum or cut bait is attached to the bottom of the Sabiki rig. As the rig sits in the current, chum slowly disperses from the bucket into the water, attracting bait fish and predators alike to the 5 shrimp skin dress hooks above. Inshore, offshore, from the bank, from the pier, or from the boat, the Chumbucket Sabiki is a great addition to every angler's tackle box. Available in 4 different sizes. Check them out at your favorite fishing tackle retailer or at www.ownerhooks.com. Owner, perfection in hooks. Again, www.ownerhooks.com.
Why settle for one boat when you can have access to nearly 20 in Huntington Beach and San Diego? With a Freedom Boat Club membership, enjoy fishing, water sports, and exploring local waterways aboard late model boats from top brands. Call 888-781-7363 today to learn about our one-time entry fee, low monthly membership dues, and 3 free months when you join the club. That's 888-781-7363 or cruise to freedomboatclub.com for details.
Ducks Radio, AM 830, KLAA.
Welcome back, everybody, on Angels Radio, AM 830, KLAA, and this is Angler Chronicles. Okay, Larry, who is that?
Bill.
Captain Rick, who was that? Rick, you still there?
I'm here.
Can you hear that song?
I can't.
Oh, okay. How about that one? Nobody knows? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen.
Here we go.
Do you know who it is?
Quite right.
Very good. Bang your head. All right.
That's my era.
That's your era. Yeah. Sorry, Larry, you're fired again.
I'm too old.
You're too old. Yeah, well, what did you guys play on Noah's Ark? You guys play rocks?
Sticks on rocks.
Sticks on rocks, okay. All right, so Rick, you're out in the blind in El Centro. What's the target species?
Today is geese. Ducks closed last weekend. We have a late season goose hunt, which starts today.
Mm-hmm.
And runs for 2 weeks. So we're going to try to shoot some snow geese.
Very nice, very nice. And what's going on in the Ocean Odyssey?
It's going to leave the dock at 8 o'clock for school trip today. Kevin's running it, so.
Oh, I was going to say, you're not running it.
No, that, you know, we're just doing a little boat work here and there in between trips. And
mm-hmm.
Getting through the winter.
Well, but the boat doesn't need that much. I mean, you did a major overhaul last year. I mean, it was beautiful, and I think by the end of the season, it still looked pretty good.
Yeah, you know, the last few years, we've done some major upgrades, so we're kind of relaxed this year. We're just doing some cleaning up and some making it pretty, you know, varnishing and painting, stuff like that.
Well, I'll tell you what. One of the major improvements that you made is a double-edged sword. It's that air conditioning. Okay, it is beautiful because you can get away from the heat outside. Especially the last few years, it's been so humid. But then you got to go in there, Larry. You got to cover up, huh? Because it works.
Yeah. Well, typically on any boat, not just Rick's, ventilation in a bunk room is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So once you put air conditioning on there, that's the end of all that.
That's right. That's right. All right. So what's the schedule looking like?
It's up. It's online. Guys are calling, starting to fill trips up. So we start running in June. And everybody knows OceanOdysseyFishing.com. Look right online now. The new system is really easy to book on.
Nice.
Or you can call Dina, 619-889-4535.
All right, and I want to thank you also for coming out and spending some time with us, dude. Really appreciate it on Tuesday. Thank you. Thank you so much, okay? Huge support. I mean, he drives Larry all the way from San Diego.
Sergio, I keep thinking that we have Rick and Dina and Lori and her husband and some of the other people. They come all the way from, JoJo and Chad. They all come from San Diego. That's a heck of a drive.
It is.
And Jeffrey from Lobster Port, those guys, man, they're driving a long way.
Well, let me go ahead and mention LP. That's LP Fishing Supply. I mean, he's having his 50th birthday. So what he's doing is he's having a big, huge party, okay, at the shop. So it is Saturday afternoon, February 11th. Between 2 and 8 p.m., okay, he has the over-the-hill deals on all your favorite brands, which is going to be fun, and there's food and drinks, raffles and prizes, and he's down in Oceanside at 3245 Production Avenue, Suite A, Oceanside, California, 92058. The big thing, just go to lpfishingsupply.com and head down there and check him out. He's really a dear friend. He's a great supporter, and we want to say happy birthday coming up February 11th to Joffrey. Okay? So, yes, he also comes down. It's just been a great thing. Okay.
Sergio, if these guys have some kind of event down in San Diego, we got no excuse, man. Guilt is on.
Absolutely.
We have to be there.
That's absolutely right. All right, Rick, I can hear some things going on back there, so go get them and post some pics.
Okay, hopefully we'll get some birds in here.
You gotta save some for one of our trips, dude.
Well, let's go.
Okay, no. I say save some geese for one of our trips,
okay.
And then when we're out there fishing, we get to try some of your birds.
Have a goose dinner.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, brother. You take care, and we'll talk to you soon. All right. And thanks
all right,
for
having me. Have a great weekend. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing what we've created with Angler Chronicles. Thanks to you and in large part, Larry, by bringing the Fishers of Men aboard. That has just been, it's a movement all itself. That's the reason we get together. But what's happening those Taco Tuesday nights? We have 5, 6, 7 different groups of anglers from different clubs come together. We've got captains of boats, owners of boats, to, you know, little kids who just come out and just have a good time running around. And Michael has been a great host. It's just excellent. What'd you say?
So much fun.
So the question is, how do we get Steve Carson down here?
It's all timing.
Duct tape, zip ties.
Yeah. Duct tape
and throw them in the back of a truck.
Duct tape or goose tape? All right. So anyway, all good, all good. Larry, what I want to move into right now is move into the salt
the
water.
The salty water.
Okay.
Sergio, one of the things I want to bring up first,
mm-hmm.
two of our sponsor landings are having halibut derbies right now, right?
Correct. In fact, let me just say good morning to Cliff. Cliff is heading out to the Pot of Gold, and the Pot of Gold is where?
Long Beach Sport Fishing.
Correct.
And that's where the El Dorado is out of there. Some of the other boats I can't name right now, but
Black Pearl.
The Black Pearl. And it's at 555 Pico Avenue in Long Beach Harbor, Berth 55.
Yep.
And get a hold of them there. And they're probably booking spots for the rock the Rockfish opener as well.
So what's the other landing that's doing
at
it?
At Dana Wharf.
Dana Wharf has a big one, in fact.
And you probably know more about the Dana Wharf scene than I do.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great event. But, you know, here's the biggest problem. People go fishing over there, and they forget to sign up. And then they catch a monster halibut, and it's too late. You actually have to sign up and go on any of their boats. And that's good enough, but you have to sign up. So check them out at Dana Wharf Sport Fishing. It's a really great event. Okay, but that's going on. So the halibut is biting. You saw from what Danny was saying, the bass are biting.
The local bass have just kept on going, Sergio.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of quality sand bass,
mm-hmm.
and. Of course, we've talked about the hookup baits and how successful everybody's been with those. And for you bait fishermen, if you can get some live or fresh dead squid and a leadhead and squid, that's been really, really productive.
The leadhead and squid has been really, really good.
Oh, yeah. And especially if you can get some leadheads made with the owner hooks, because they're just so stinking sharp. It's
get an owner hook leadhead.
Yeah.
Okay.
So... but, you know, the leadhead and squid, it's just like a low and slow on the bottom. This time of year, most of the fish are right on the bottom, but occasionally we've had some bites where they're biting on the sink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking about when you guys were talking about the hookup baits. You ever hear Chad go, "Don't blink on the sink"?
Yeah.
That's his little phrase line, because a lot of times those fish are getting bit on the sink.
Well, 90% of the hookup baits get bit on the sink.
Don't blink on the sink, because you do and you missed it.
That's right.
So, you know, and Sergio, I see a lot of bass that are reaching that 14-inch mark. So the new regulations were long overdue. And now we're seeing a lot more quality bass.
Well, I mean, you know, I'll tell you just from when we went out. When I say 80 to 100 fish a day for Chad and I would tell you 95, 96% were legal fish. We had probably a dozen fish over 5 pounds. So the bigger fish, if you get on the reef correctly. Now, I know it's different fishing from a small boat and a big boat. When you get a big boat, you got to be patient, because then you'll attest to that. Once they anchor, the boat has a tendency to go, you know, go from one end to another, you know, so you go over the reef and you come back over the reef. But you got to be in the water when that happens. Okay, you have to be in the right spot. Agree, Larry?
Yeah, and you have to watch real closely, because a lot of times when you're sport boat, charter boat captains are anchoring on these spots, like Sergio said, the boat will swing back and forth, and you got to watch real close for the guys that are snagging the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're looking around to see who's getting bit on a certain part of the boat, and you see somebody snag the bottom. If there's room next to them, get over there.
It reminds me like rod fishing, okay? When you know when you're near the reef, when you're catching rod fish, the minute you go into the sand dab area, you're in the sand, you miss
it. When you get off of the hard bottom or the rock, all of a sudden you're piling up with sand dabs.
And you know,
which are not all that bad themselves.
No. But the thing is, when you stop catching them, you know you're off the reef.
Yeah.
So just pay attention. Remember, folks, the majority of the party boats, they can get pretty full. However, this time of year, there isn't huge crowds, and you don't have super glue on your shoes. Okay, so just because you said, oh, this is my number, this is where I'm going to be, that's a mistake. Okay, look around, like Larry, Captain Larry just said, look around. If you're not catching fish, look to the stern, look to the port, the starboard, depending where you're at.
These types of bass fishing is up and down.
Uh-huh.
It might even be on the bow.
Absolutely, so move. You're not moved on. All right, folks, we're going to take another short break. This is Angels Radio, AM830KLAA, and I'm going to send a huge shout-out to our dear friend, Mort, okay? You know who you are, Mort. All right, so huge shout-out, and Tony told me to say hello to Rich again, so we'll say hello to Rich again, and have a good one. Oh, I like this song. Okay. Turn it up. Well, don't you worry, baby, oh, I love this. Okay, we'll be right back. This is Angels Radio, AM830KLAA. This is Angler Chronicle. Because I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker.
AM830 KLAA.
Welcome to Lake Elsinore Casino and Hotel, California's friendliest card room, featuring ultimate Texas Hold'em, Vegas-style blackjack, crazy poker, and Spanish 21. Lake Elsinore Casino regularly features weekly tournaments with great value buy-ins, exclusive promotions, and enticing giveaways. Hungry? Thirsty? Enjoy CJ's Sport Lounge and Turf Club, players' favorite comfort food with daily specials. Mark your calendars every Friday for all-day steak and lobster. Book a weekend of fun in the newly remodeled rooms. Coming soon, off-track betting. LEC is conveniently located off the 15 freeway in the beautiful city of Lake Elsinore. Lake Elsinore Casino and Hotel, California's friendliest card room. Give them a call at 951-674-3101 or check them out online at lercasino.com.
Did you know that every 10 seconds, a report of child abuse is made in this country? It's absolutely heartbreaking what so many kids here in our community experience. And that's why I want to talk to you about a great organization called Olive Crest. We love this organization. They do amazing work to transform the lives of abused and neglected children by providing strong, loving families that keep children safe from abuse and neglect. Let's all remember that there are kids out there who need help to stay safe and grow into healthy, thriving adults. This can only happen when others step in to provide the care and nurturing that isn't happening at home for so many reasons. It only takes $7 a day to keep abused and neglected kids safe. We're urging you, our listeners, to make a gift to help these kids. Olive Crest has been doing this work for 43 years, and over that time has helped over 70,000 children and families. You can make your gift right now by texting HEAL to 80888 on your phone. So do it today. These kids and Olive Crest need our help. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Chef Bree, head chef for Carne de Teresa, and it's my goal to make you a chef in your own kitchen. I've created the perfect and most delicious seasonings to go on top of our pollo asado and pollo adobado. And our Carne de Teresa salvadoreño sausage is perfect for breakfast or dinner. Carne de Teresa is always hand-cut, hand-seasoned, and hand-packed right here in Southern California. You can find our delicious Carne de Teresa products at your local Albertsons, Food Burlesque, Ralph's, and Smart & Final. Let Carne de Teresa make you a chef in your own kitchen. Visit CarneDeTeresa.com for recipes and more. Remember, when fishing, practice CPR. Catch, photograph, and release. And always eat more Carne de Teresa.
This is Teresa. Carne de Teresa is a proud sponsor of Angler Chronicles and Olive Crest.
Angels Radio, AM 830.
Hey. Uh-huh. Hey. Welcome back, everybody. Your Angels Radio, AM 830 KLAA, the Zanga Chronicles. And all right, Larry, was that better? You like
you're getting there. I even liked the music he went out with was Steve Miller.
Right. Okay. So
yeah,
who's
Steve
this?
Miller Band?
Who's this?
Who? Tony, come on.
No, no, don't get
always, I went to you.
Dude, I'm the worst to ask. Okay. About Ron, do you know who that was? Steve, do you know who that was?
Yeah, it might have been the Romantics.
Might have been. The man is on it. He's every single time. You're absolutely right. The Romantics would have liked us out you. That was back 80, 81 in that range in the 80s.
You know, so many songs that you play, I know the songs and I don't know the names of who.
And that's what happens when you're on these party boats with no hats and stuff and you burn your brain. Anyway, all right, so Larry, we were talking about the beginning of some of the stuff here, but I got a call. Let's go to Rich here calling us from, I know, Northern California. What's up, Rich?
Hey. I'm calling from Central California.
Central California, okay. Well,
where do you say you were from?
Central California, Northern California. You know what?
Yeah, north somewhere of up there.
He's north of us.
The other side of the 710 freeway somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to have a green card to come up here and fish either.
Oh, there we go. I should have played a refugee song. One of those. Anyway. All right, so
you were saying it was the sunshine that's burning his brain. It might have been the Bushwax.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. What
not up this high.
Yeah.
It melts.
So, Rich.
I've got a saltwater question for you, Sergio.
Okay, Larry.
When you're switching out the single owner hooks, do you go size for size, or do you go up a couple of sizes? What's your game plan on that? Maybe you can give us the inside baseball.
Depending
on that.
What I'm targeting. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So I imagine you like freshwater a lot, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm kind of ambidextrous that way.
Okay, so for the largemouth bass, I know that you probably go there. I would probably go on the bigger size, okay? I may increase the size. So if you're using, say, a number 1-0 or 2-0 treble, I may go to a 2-0 or 4-0 on the single replacement, okay?
Well, those numbers just don't work with the... With largemouth bass type lures.
Typically, yeah, but
lure, you're using maybe a 6 or a 4 or a 2.
Right.
Let's talk about something where it's really in your wheelhouse. How about when you're switching them out on the iron?
Oh, on the iron, I go big. I go big, single replacement, yeah. Go big.
Okay, and how much bigger? Do you have like a...
Usually one size. One size bigger.
One size.
So, but again, if I'm going to use surface iron or the jerk baits, you know, like the Daiwa has the SP minnows and you get the
lights. I've seen that's okay. Where the single replacement hooks are really successful.
And for that, I may go size for size, you know. And the important thing on those type of lures, if you're going to throw them in the kelp, okay, it's the way that you attach them. Okay, so have the hooks pointing backwards, not forward. Okay? It makes
And they tend not to snag the weeds as you're pulling
them
through.
Correct. It does help.
Almost makes them weedless.
No, not really, because I've lost a few, but it helps. It helps a lot. Same thing
I
with.
I said almost.
Almost. Okay. You know, but.
I almost got bit.
Yeah.
And then with the iron, too, if you've got a wider gap and you hook them with that wider gap hook, you've got a better chance of that hook staying put.
Yeah, I mean, despite, like I said, it's very species, you know, I mean, yellowtail really is a good time to use a single replacement hook. They have that harder mouth, you know, than bass. Okay, bass are good too, but I mean, on yellowtail, I love it. I love.
You have to remember, if you're using surface iron,
mm-hmm.
You can't overweight the lure or you kill the action.
Correct. That's the other thing I was going to say.
Whereas with like yo-yo iron, doesn't matter at all. Use as big a hook as you want.
Exactly. So what you want to do is, and this is the other thing I would do. Okay, once you hook it up, cast it out and see how it swims now. Sometimes it changes a little bit your swim action, okay? Usually not, but I've actually seen an improvement in the swim action versus a treble hook, okay? Especially on your smaller crankbaits for... Hey, San Vicente, I threw a lot of stuff with single replacement hooks, okay? And gets bit really well.
And then, Sergio, I'm going to say, I watched you switch out the treble hook for another treble hook.
That too.
And added a split ring onto the welded ring. And that was pretty interesting.
Well, there's two reasons I switch them, because obviously the owner's O-wires are just super, super strong. And you know what? They don't rust as easy, too. They last a lot longer. And then when you put the split ring to attach them.
So now you've got two rings.
Well, yeah, but now it's about twisting.
Yeah.
Okay, Larry and I have actually talked in seminars about this. You know, you throw out a jig. Here comes a yellowtail. He grabs it. Actually, it's bigger on bass because the bass like to roll. Okay,
yep.
So they grab the hook, they get a hook, and they start to roll sideways. But with the treble, without the split ring, you got limited rotation.
Limited amount of rotation, yeah.
With the split ring,
you double it, pretty much.
So they turn, but they can't put pressure on the hook. So it's.
Seen that done, Rich?
Oh, yeah. We've done that with topwater baits.
Yeah.
Because they're already on the surface, so you know that they're going to be prone to jumping. And when a fish, largemouth bass or smallmouth bass jumps, that's the time where you're most in danger of losing that fish.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we've done that quite a bit. The other thing that we'll use an extra split ring for, this one you haven't covered, is on a jerk bait, it's an opportunity to add just a little tiny bit of the extra weight maybe in the belly so that you can get that jerk bait to suspend.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, okay. I had never used that. That's a thought there. I never used a split ring for that.
That's a little inside trick that not everybody knows about. So
don't
tell anybody.
All the modern jerkbaits are already set for different depths. They will suspend for you. They already.
Well, now one problem with that, Sergio.
Which one?
Is that they're gonna suspend differently depending upon the water temperature, because the density of the water changes. And if you want that thing to suspend just right, you may have to make adjustments depending upon conditions.
All right, folks. So there's no doubt here. You're talking to a largemouth bass fisherman.
No doubt.
All right? Yeah. Yeah. See,
I cut my teeth on Huntington Flats. You know, that's where I learned how to turn the handle on a reel.
But, Rich, I got an idea. When you sign off here, you give them your address, and we're going to ship you a 50-pound bag of salt.
Well, no, but...
I love you, Sergio.
No, this is perfect, and this is what we always say. I get out mostly in the salt, okay? I'm basically an ocean fisherman, so I love when people call in like you who have some experience, and you share with our listeners. You know, what have I always said about our show? We're a bunch of guys who love to fish talking about fishermen. We don't profess to be these pros and these specialists. No, we're just fishermen. And so I love it when you actually participate in the show like this and you impart your wisdom. You know what I'm saying? That's important.
Well, you kind of poked me when you said, Tony said to say hello to Rich. So I thought, yeah, I better say hello to
There you go.
The gang.
I appreciate it.
You know,
so how's the bite?
There's another little tip about treble hooks versus single hooks.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a single hook with its wider gap, it does take a bigger bite, but it also takes a little bit stiffer rod to get all of that extra power to drive the hook. Additionally, with a treble hook, most of the time you don't have all three of those barbs into the fish. You've usually only got them with just one barb.
Mm-hmm.
So, a number, say, two-size treble hook, you're only getting them with that number little number two hook, even though it looks huge because it's a total of three number two hooks put together. So when you switch out to that larger size single hook, like with a largemouth bass fisherman, he's fishing with a spinnerbait. It's got just a big single hook. He's got a better chance of getting it in the boat than he does with the crankbait.
Hey, Steve, your thoughts on all this?
Well, gosh, that's like a whole entire topic. In general, on my largemouth bass crankbaits, I'm going to go up one size.
Yes,
with my owner treble hooks, with my owner replacement trebles.
Mm-hmm.
If you, again, if you go more, sometimes even if you only go one, but if you go more than one size up, then you affect the swimming action of the lure. The other thing, going all the way backwards to what Sergio was talking about, in your saltwater jerkbaits, if you go up in size a little bit, you slow down the swimming action. If you go down in size, you speed it up, which, again, depending on the local conditions, you may want one or the other.
There you go.
There's a lot of variables you can introduce
and,
when you start messing with.
Rich, since because of where you are, you held out or you sandbagged everybody on a very important thing about suspending crankbaits or suspending jerkbaits. And that is when you're fishing in the delta, depending on the stage of the tide, very important to your buoyancy is the amount of saltwater intrusion. If you got a high tide situation and you're in a part of the delta that gets a little brackish water in there, that can really affect the buoyancy of your lures. I know you're holding out for a money tournament, but
well, see, I don't fish the delta that much. That's really true. Another thing that is a huge variable that hasn't been mentioned yet is the buoyancy of the line you're using. That can change the way you're.
The
least buoyant line is fluorocarbon. That's one of the main reasons that people use full fluorocarbon line. It's not because the fish care what the line looks like 20 feet above your lure. It's because fluorocarbon sinks the fastest.
Correct.
And the other thing could be, the line test or diameter of the line, too. Going to be another huge variable that you could introduce that would make you maybe want to change the balance of the lure by doing something like I was suggesting with the adding a split ring or even going to a larger hook size just to get yourself a little bit more sink rate.
And Sergio, this is an example when you got money tournaments like are so common in some waters and you get, if not close to 100, in some cases over 100 anglers all fishing the same water and the difference between first place and last place is a couple of ounces. That's why people get obsessed.
Oh yeah, and they look at it. That's why Larry's he's over here. We just put Larry in a daze. Okay, Larry's over here dazed and confused like that old movie. And we don't have those problems in saltwater, do we,
Larry? Not so much.
You do now that bass fishing is becoming a thing in saltwater. You absolutely do. If you can figure out a way that the average fish you catch is 1 ounce heavier than the other guys around you and beat them by, let's just say it's a 5-fish limit, beat them by 5 ounces every time, you're going to be rich.
Yeah, I don't think that, Steve.
1 ounce.
Steve, for the first time, if
you're going to beat somebody, beat them hard.
Yeah. Hey, I like this conversation, so you both stay. Rich, stay with us.
All right.
And Steve as well. And as we go to the next break, I just want to say a huge shout out to the Finga, Eddie.
The Finga.
Steve and Rich are on their way to Silverwood. All right. So we'll be right back. You're on Angels Radio, AM830K LAA. Angler Chronicles, we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Tony Shitanishi from Owner Hooks. Owner Hooks give anglers the best opportunity to put fish in the boat. A key ingredient to a great hook is the material used to create it. All Owner Hooks are made from high carbon steel to create stronger hooks by diameter. High carbon steel allows Owner Hooks to be made thinner in gauge, which allows for better live bait action and easier hook sets. Owner's Gorilla Light is perfect for Southern California saltwater fishing. Gorilla Light hooks are a lighter version of the Gorilla hook for a more natural bait presentation. Gorilla Lights can be used for rigging smaller live baits like anchovies or even medium-sized baits like sardines. Most anglers are familiar with Owner's Flyliner hook, a staple for anchovy fishing in Southern California. The Gorilla Light is 1 gauge lighter than the Flyliner. So when fishing shoulder to shoulder on your next trip, the Gorilla Light may provide that slight edge to get your bait swimming better and get you bit. Look for Gorilla Lights at your local tackle shop. Remember, folks, always choose Owner Hooks. It's perfection in hooks.
Whether you're watching your favorite sports on one of their 37 state-of-the-art flat screens or playing one of their games, pool, darts, air hockey, shuffleboard, or basketball, Michael's is Orange County's premier sports pub and grill. Lunch and dinner are served daily from a full menu featuring gourmet burgers, handmade pizza, steak, pasta, and the fabulous wings Michael's is famous for. And after a long day at work, Forget going home to watch the game. Michael's proudly hosts the best happy hour in Orange County on weekdays from 4 p.m. till 7 p.m. Featuring 350 Wells, house wine, domestic draft, and appetizers for $350. Voted by the people as best sports bar in Orange County, Michael's is a full-service sports pub and grill, providing the best sports atmosphere for your youth league, adult league, group celebrations, or just you and your family. Come see why. Michael's Sports Pub and Grill is located at 15192 Golden West Street in Westminster, conveniently located off the 405 and Golden West exit. Proud sponsor of Angler Chronicles and Taco Tuesdays.
Ducks Radio AM 830 KLAA.
Everybody on Angels Radio, AMA 30, KLAA. All right, Tony, this one's yours. Who was that?
That had to be Wim.
Oh, my God, somebody shoot him. Larry, who was that?
Don't ask me.
Okay, you missed. You totally missed the 80s.
Wait, was Ron? It Bing Crosby?
I mean, Steve, do you know who that was?
That was, I'm ashamed that I know that 80s group. Tears for Fears.
Cheers, shout.
Shout.
Shout. Let it all out.
I actually did have a job and was gainfully employed in the 80s, so I'm not sure why I know that.
Well, I mean, think about it. In the 80s, that was total 80s music, and there was a different life. It was
I was gone during the 80s.
Yeah, we know. You still haven't come back.
I didn't have any trouble recognizing Cass Elliott's beautiful voice.
And that's right. That was California Dreamin'. Very good. By the Mamas and the Papas before we... All right, so let me get back to you guys. So, because this is the last segment. I only have a few minutes. So, we were talking in the break here with Larry. It just seems like, you know, we don't have that much of a problem on freshwater. And when I look at these guys that fish all these saltwater bass tournaments, you know, specifically they're targeting calico bass, I keep seeing them go heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier with braided lines, with everything. Some of them use a fluorocarbon line, or others just go straight a braid to the lure. Okay, so I don't know.
Sergio, I'm just thinking about that as you're saying it. When I think that you're going straight braid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're getting more of a reaction bite than anything else.
You know, I haven't really thought about it. When I'm thinking of Cedros, where every cast is pretty much a calico bass, and I'm using 65 to 80 pound super braid to a jerkbait.
I think when you go into someplace like Cedros, you're just overcoming finesse with the just overabundance of fish that there
well,
is there.
Well, you know, we talked about the hookup baits. On the hookup baits, Chad always says use fluorocarbon. I wanted to go straight to it, like I'm used to go straight. He goes, no, I'll put some fluorocarbon. And hey, I'm on the boat with him.
It's like Rich was saying, the buoyancy of your line.
Maybe.
It affects the action.
But the reason he said that is because of the structure, okay? Because, you know, when you the hookup baits are best when you fish them over structure. And we all know that, I mean, as strong as super braided lines are, any sharp object, it cuts like butter. So you're down there.
You know, its problem is, well, it's an asset plus it's kind of a deficit, is that it's thinner. So being thinner, it's easier to cut through.
So
it doesn't take as much. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then the other thing to consider is if you're fishing around kelp, or if you're fishing around freshwater weeds, and you're using green braid, well, that piece of green braid looks just like another piece of kelp going that's in there. So they don't have as much opportunity to focus on the lure because they have to get it when it appears in a little bitty opening. So the line is probably not as much of a consideration for a line shy fish.
You know
in
what we're going to do, guys.
Situation.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to do a show about this because I got a lot of thoughts going in my head, and you only got 4 minutes left. But I'll tell
I
you
think
this.
We just did one.
I'll tell you this right now. I'll tell you this right now. You say green, but I've seen guys fish right next to me with white, with yellow, with red line. They get bit just as much as I do.
Who's got that yellow line?
Yeah, yellow line and white line.
Oh, you tangled with me again.
Well, this is controversial. For me, it's controversial because I think See, I some of the best saltwater bass anglers that I know have told me, don't worry about line. Worry about how your jig swims. He goes, a bass will look at the movement of the bait. They don't care if there's a line. He goes, as long as your presentation of the bait itself works well. I'm thinking artificial bait.
I think when you go bait fishing as in
different,
sardine or anchovy or whatever the heck
I'm
it might
saying
be.
Artificial. You know, yeah. We throw 7 to 9 inch plastics on a beast hook. Now we've got a 12 odd beast hook.
That whole thought though changes when you go to live bait.
Right, and when I'm throwing it into about a foot of water at the shore, and I'm bringing it in as absolutely fast as fast as I could possibly crank it, I don't think they care. Yeah. It's just movement. I'll agree with that. It's a reaction bite. I think it depends on what kind of bite you're trying to incite. Agreed or not agreed? Steve? Rich?
Well, you've got different things on the fish. Go ahead.
Yeah, when it's a reaction bite, you know, fish are not focused on the line. They're focused on something that just caught their eye, and they have to get it before the big fish get it.
Okay. Okay, Steve.
Yeah. And there's also competition. I've kept pet bass in tanks. Don't do this at home, kids. It's not legal.
Mm-hmm.
But I let's just say I know somebody who kept a pet bass in a tank.
Allegedly.
And when they're real small, you feed them live guppies. And when they're a little bigger, you feed them live goldfish. It's really quite interesting to watch. And even when they're so stuffed that the tails of the guppies and the goldfish are sticking out of their mouths, if you drop another one in there and he thinks his buddy in the tank is going to get it, he's going to go and try and jam it into his face.
Agreed.
And Steve has given him credit for thinking. They're just reacting.
Well,
they're brainless, the size of a pea.
let's recognize this. If you're a large mouth bass fisherman, it's a lot easier to get on the ocean and catch fish. Okay, I'm not saying that a saltwater fisherman can't catch freshwater fish, but it just seems that because of the craziness. But
you want to learn more about all of this firsthand, you better get on some Owner Hooks fishing school trips.
Absolutely.
Put on bump.
Yeah, and you know what? How many we got?
30.
We have 30 trips this year. Oh, my God, 30
trips. We were going to go through the list of them. You better tune in next Saturday.
Yeah. How much time do we have, Leilani? How much time do we have? Oh, we got 30 seconds. I got time to say goodbye. Hey, Rich, thanks for hanging in, bud.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You know what? I'm
with you. Be nice to Larry.
All right. Hey, you've got Rich's info, don't you, Ron?
Yep.
Okay, so you don't have to wait on the phone, but I'm going to send you some single replacement hooks. How's that?
Oh, you're awesome.
All right, bud. Hey, Steve.
Talk to you later.
Later, bud. Thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll just have to get it done again next week.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Larry.
It's been fun.
It's been real.
It's actually been real fun.
There you go. Tony. Bud.
Signing off.
Ron.
Bye-bye. I'll see you next week.
Well, all right.
hear you next week.
All right, guys. You guys have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Angler Chronicles crew, out.
Well, folks, that's the show for this week. It's time to truck on out of the city and get outside in God's country.
We'll see you next week on Angler Chronicles.